And now for something completely different. Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called The Christian Journey. First, as you may know, I have a fondness for revisiting older sermons, and I define older as anything beyond 12 months. That's how I operate. My perspective is simple. Jesus often preached on the same subject multiple times, and then, of course, there's no better example to emulate. So that makes that easy. Today's message will focus on the promises of God. We will define what a promise is, both from an academic and biblical perspective, and then explore the different types of promises, some of which are conditional and others are not conditional. Wow. Next, the key to remembering promises from God is understanding that they are not fickle. God doesn't make a promise and then change his mind. He doesn't say, I'm going to do this for you, and then decide otherwise the next day because he had a bad night of sleep. The promises of God are steadfast and reliable, and we need to find comfort in these promises. Wait a second. I need to repeat that. We need to find comfort in these promises, because both biblical and personal promises are powerful assurances of commitments of God's goodness, mercy, and grace. And finally, when God's promises are unconditional, it means they cannot be changed. There is nothing that can alter what God has committed to in any capacity, anywhere, at any time. That is an unconditional promise. We must remember God's reliability to understand the reliability of his promises. I'll say it plainly because I care for everyone and want to be honest with myself. When God makes a promise, he isn't fickle about it like you and me.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Nice. Politics, entertainment, and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, oy vey, so much more. So much more. Remember, it's not professional radio, and Jacob and I proved that on Monday and Tuesday, and every other show we've done. But what we're asking you is, what do you think? Okay, so you can email us during the show, david@hemusincrease.org. david@hemusincrease.org. You can text us live during the show. So if you're in San Diego, or if you're in Denver, if you're in Dallas, if you're in Detroit, you can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or, unlike yesterday, where the phones didn't work, today you can call us. Now, the reason that sometimes the calls will sound a little funny is people will have their radios on, and so when we're talking, there's a little echo and feedback. So if you do call in, you gotta turn your radio down, okay? That's just a big help for you. But you can call us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. All right, here you go. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like eating your favorite breakfast. Yay! Right. All right, here's your chance. You have the full opportunity to tell us for all the things you like. And even if you go Pop-Tart, it would not be a bad call. What is, that was my favorite for many, many years. What is your favorite breakfast?
You know, there's a debate between waffles and pancakes.
Oh,
which is better.
Interesting.
My favorite is waffles.
So you are a waffle.
I do like pancakes, but I prefer waffles, and that's my favorite.
That is your favorite. Waffles is Jacob's favorite.
Okay. And we're talking about waffles, and you mentioned Whataburger earlier, so now I'm hungry.
And now you want like those waffle thingies, right? Okay, there, see, we just try and help you every way we can. My favorite breakfast has changed over the years, but now it's been solidified in the last, I'd say, 20 years. It's pretty straightforward. I like hotel breakfast, Eggs Benedict, double portion of hash browns, well done, with lots of ketchup and Tabasco sauce. People out there going,
see,
that is
you went into detail. I just said waffles. You went into the whole meal, sides, everything.
I went all the way in. All right, folks, here it is. Apparently, I haven't had mine for quite some time. Here's the deal. So if you want to call us at 972-445-0770, you can. You want to text 214-210-8483, you can do that. If you want to send an email, david@hemisincrease.org, you can do that. What for? Ah, good question. Here's the answer. Maybe you've got a prayer request and you just need prayer. Well, what kind of prayer? Any kind of prayer. Anything that sincerely petitions the Lord. No, we're not going to pray that you can advance in sin. Yes, we're going to pray that the Lord's will prevail no matter what. Yes, we're going to pray with thanksgiving, but we want to pray for God's purposes, God's plan to be manifested. We want to pray this way. Our Father, who art thou in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the mandate. That's the manner. That's the approach that we take. We have faith. We believe God will do it. We believe God can do anything. And here's the key. Combining other people's faith is a powerful, powerful weapon or process for us to use because God loves faith. That's why. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So when we're all using faith, it's a good thing. If you've got a praise report, you want to share that, we want you to. Praise reports are awesome. They bless people that hear it. They honor the Lord, and they reinforce it in your own lives. You got something you got to share, you want to share, it doesn't matter if it's big, small, little, doesn't matter. It's all good. We just want to make sure people have that opportunity to fellowship, to strengthen one another, to encourage one another, to bless one another. We will do jokes. Yes, we will. People, you're not supposed to do jokes all the time on Christian radio. Oh, well. What else is new? We'll do a little bit of history, and we're going to do some Bible trivia. Here's your Bible trivia. We are still in a little bit of a walkthrough on these Who Am I's. I like them. They're kind of fun. Here is the who am I for this one. Who is this person? I was a publican, a tax collector. I was one of the 12 disciples, and Jesus had dinner at my house. Who am I? Am I Thomas, Matthew, or Thaddeus? Now, I can give you this reference simply because of where it's located. I have to be careful. So that's why I'm hesitant to do it. So if you can just think, it's one of the 12, he was a tax collector, and Jesus had dinner at his house, and the answer is in one of the Gospels. That's that. So you can look at, okay, here, I'll give you this hint. It's either, the answer is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John in chapter 9, verse 9. So it's one of those four that you can find it from. Okay, there you go. If you think you know the answer... That was kind of a weird way to do it, but hey, that's all right. 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. I was a publican, a tax collector. Jesus had dinner at my house, and I was one of the 12. Now, if you can do it fast enough, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John will have chapter 9, verse 9, will give you your answer. Who am I? We do have somebody that is on. By the way, earlier today, did you throw a pink ping pong ball? Did you think I wasn't hearing you? Is that what you did?
Yeah, I did throw it. Yeah, okay. First time ever.
Okay, and I will give you credit for that. That is you staying on top of the show. So I just want you to know how much I appreciate that. That was good. I knew we were going there, but
You're welcome.
Do appreciate that. We have somebody on the line. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Oh, this is the guy of the waffle, chocolate waffle with Irish butter and a organic maple syrup.
That is a lot of stuff for breakfast, brother. That's not probably good for your glucose, is it? Oh,
no, I'm a waffle guy as well. So.
Oh, that's good. That's good. You and Jacob got to have that in common. All right, my friend. Got to answer the trivia question. Here we go. I'll set it up, and then you answer after I give you all the possibilities. I was a publican. I was a tax collector. I was one of the 12 disciples, and Jesus had dinner at my house. Who am I? Am I Thomas, Matthew, or Thaddeus?
What's the last name?
Jesus had dinner at my house, and I am one of the 12.
Matthew.
Matthew it is! Now, I noticed a little hesitation there. What was that about?
I wasn't able to hear the third name.
The third name was, so it was Thomas, Matthew, or Thaddeus.
Okay. Oh, okay.
It was a Bartholomew kind of, it's a secondary for Bartholomew. That's fine. Okay, my friend, how are you?
Well, pray for me. I'm feeling very tired for some odd reason.
You know what's so funny about that? Listen to this. I was going to ask people to pray for me because my energy, it's pretty good on the show, but I was tired when I came into the studio this day. Jacob will tell you. He's like, do you want to do any other recording on the book? I'm like, no, I'm tired. So I'm going to join you in that prayer.
This morning I did a funeral, and afterward, now I'm just feeling really tired.
Okay. Well, let me pray over you, and then let me pray for me. And everybody else out there who's feeling a bit drained, this will include all of you as well. So let's do it. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now. I thank you for my brother Samson. It's just a blessing. And Lord, I pray you'd encourage him deep in his heart and his mind. He's doing his best, Lord, to get some things corrected, just like many of us are. But Lord, he's feeling that drain, that removal of the power and the energy. And that's right where you teach us in Colossians 1:29, where Paul says, I do this through the energy the Lord gives me, through the power the Lord gives me. That's what we need, many of us, myself included. People who are listening to my voice right now saying, I do feel drained. I need some encouragement. I need some lift. I need some revival inside of me. And Lord, only you can take something that is older or tired and make it fresh like a rain, fresh like a breeze that just comes over a person. Only you can bring the freshness, the restoration, the renewal that our bodies need. We can do the best we can in some of the stuff that we eat and some of the stuff that we do with our bodies, but you are the creator of the body, and we ask you to use your mighty power in our lives and give us restoration and renewal on the inside. We need that, Lord, and we depend on you for that. So be our inner strength. We pray that in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
God bless you.
Hey, I want to share one thought.
Okay.
Okay, do you know who's the funniest guy in the Bible?
Is that Samson, because he brought the house down?
You got it. All right. Love you, brother.
Love you, too.
You stole my thunder, so thank you.
I'll let you do it next time.
Oh, let the joy of the Lord be our strength. Thank
Amen.
You, brother.
Amen,
and
brother.
Shalom.
Shalom. God bless you. All right, let's do our DNA. We're doing DNA. Wait, we're going to take a break. No, we're doing DNA. Why? Because we need it. That's why. That's exactly what we need. D, draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day. And every day you spend time with God. And don't, listen, I like that you listen to the show. Don't misunderstand. I love that you listen to the show. This is fellowship. And there is some element of spending time with the Lord here, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what Jesus did, separating himself, going up to the mountain, spending time with the Father, communing with the Holy Spirit. I am talking about that. separated you and God alone time. Doesn't matter how long. Doesn't matter what. I don't care. Doesn't matter if you do. And I really don't care if you're praying or reading, although I think both are very effective. Praying is you talking to the Lord. Reading is Him talking to you in its most basic function. Draw closer to the Lord daily. D-N. Never be ashamed of Jesus or His words. Again, all day long yesterday on 10 different newscasts, they were just mocking Christians. It's just like, too bad. You know what's going to happen. The Lord's going to call all of those people on an account, and it's like, nah, not my problem. I'm just not going to be ashamed of what Jesus had to say or His words. And then A, so D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or His words. A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve. Now, here's the big deal on that. Alert. Right? Here's a great way to think of it. All right? If you're sleeping, right? And I don't know, maybe it's just a little different. And your alarm goes off. What do you do from your slumber? You wake up. That's what we need to be functioning in. The wake-up attitude for the Lord on a continual basis. You think, well, can I do it continually? Yes. Well, I haven't been able to do it so far. Ask for help from the one who's asking you to do that. I can promise you, you'll get a yes. Get it? Okay. D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or His words. A, always be ready to serve. We'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience.
What is the David Spoon Experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? A hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away.
That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
Then they complained to Moses against Moses and Aaron, and they said it had been better for us to die in Egypt or even here in the wilderness. Their theory in that thought process is they're thinking it'd be better for us if we just died in the wilderness or back in Egypt where we know where things were at, as opposed to going to a new land and being consumed by these big people. This is a terrible idea. There's some commentators that believe that their complaining really has to do with they thought it would be better to die over time in the wilderness or over time in Egypt versus going to the land and being immediately killed by these big people. And they were bumming. And look what they said. Wouldn't it be better to go back to Egypt? How quick we forget what the bondage is once you're out. Oh, how quickly do you forget the bondages that God brought you through once you're away from it? Like, what? I don't remember being that bad.
The David Spoon Experience on 770 KAAM.
if Jesus.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. And a little challenging it may be, but we do have a reference, so that will help everybody. 2 Timothy 4:11 is what you want to do for this reference. Who is this person? I was with Paul when he wrote 2 Timothy. I am a physician. Who am I? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of test our phone when somebody calls in, because the first call that we had, there was a little radio feedback. That call was a little bit more through a speaker, so I want to see if somebody calls without those things, how the phone sounds, and if there's a problem, we'll let you know. 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org.
david@hemustincrease.org.
I would like you guys to be praying for my wife. I realized that in the first 5 years of radio in San Diego, I used to call her my wifey, and then some people got really upset, and so I called her my wifey a lot more. So I'm asking you to pray for my wifey, and don't get upset about it, or you'll be hearing that word about 5,000 times. Just forget it, move on, and let's just keep going. But pray for my wifey. She got a lot going on, okay? All right, so our trivia question, I was with Paul when he wrote 2 Timothy. Okay, your reference point, by the way, 2 Timothy 4:11, and I am a physician. That's right, I didn't say doctor. I am a physician, which is the correct term. Who am I? Okay. If you think you know, we do have somebody on the phone, so we're going to get to them in a second, but you can still text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Let's go ahead and send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
David, good afternoon. This is John.
Hi, John. How are you doing today?
Well, okay. I'm all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing
good.
I haven't had a chance to talk to you for so long, brother, and you've been on my heart and on my mind. I pray for you often. And
Thank you.
I just want people to know how much we love you and appreciate you. And
thank you
for your letting us share with you all the stuff that you've encountered. So I just wanted to offer that
sure.
to you. No problem. All right, you ready ready for the triv?
You kind of tipped your hand when you said physician, so yeah, go ahead. You gave it away.
Yeah, I didn't say, though, doctor, because that would actually be incorrect, because doctor came about in from the Latin term in the 1400s for those that were teachers of scripture, not actually, that's really where the word came from. That's why we say physician.
Didn't know that. Wow.
All right, here we go. I was with Paul when he wrote 2 Timothy, and I am a physician. Who am I? Am I Luke, Philip, or Titus?
That would be Luke.
That is correct, Amanda! You are right, sir. That is exactly right. He was Luke, who was hanging out, was the best. I mean, probably of all the people that hung out with Paul, probably the best of all of them. I mean, they're two pretty good intellectuals who probably had a lot of fun going back and forth in theology. That's my take on it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he had that account of, you know, from all eyewitnesses and all. So.
Yep, exactly. Excellent job, brother. And so just
well, thank
wonderful,
you, David.
Wonderful to hear your voice.
Nice to talk to you, too.
Okay. God bless you, bro.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
All right. So we are obviously having a little bit of a problem on the phone part of it. So that's our third phone call. All phone calls were a little bit so we're going to tell Jennifer, but we're still going to keep the phone going. Okay? So for those that are going, that sounds weird. It sounds like they're somewhere. Yes. It does. Okay, anyway, excellent job. Great to hear from John. Please be praying for John. If you remember John's granddaughter, Nola, that whole process, just be praying for them. What wonderful people. Love them, okay? All right. All right. The phones, by the way, they go. That's what they're doing right now. So I don't know what that means. Excellent job there. Let's get into our teaching. Here we are. This is wonderful. I'm already 25 minutes deep. What is a promise? Huh? What is a promise? You hear about the promises of God. What is that? What do you mean promise of God? What is that? A promise, according to the dictionary, is a declaration that something will or will not be done. That is the dictionary definition of a promise.
I will never do this again.
I will always do this. You know, one of those kind of things, right? Although a lot of us probably operate in the negative more so than not. A declaration that something will or will not be done. That's the Webster definition. What about the biblical definition? The Greek word is epangelion. Epangelion. Gelion. It's actually Gillian, but okay. Epangelion. It is an announcement for a pledge to start walking a commitment. What? Yeah. It's an announcement for a pledge. It's to start walking for a commitment. In case you're wondering, somebody did a study. I do not know the accuracy of this study, but since it's the only one that bothered to take the time to try, we'll give it the props. There are approximately 1,260 promises of God in the Bible. 1,260. Now, I want to talk about something along these lines. When we get back, we're going to get into the heart of it. But listen, what kind of promises did God give to Abraham or to King David? To Abraham, he gave this promise of having incredible amount of offspring, land, blessing, all of these things. To King David, very same type of promise that he was going to bless his offspring, he would be with them. You know, David wrote from his heart to the Lord. You get that in the Psalms. Abraham believed God. He was called the friend of God. These guys are phenomenal. But I want to point out something, and you're not going to, some people are not going to like it. And that's all right. I mean, that's okay. Just go with it as much as you can. And here it is. Those promises that were given to Abraham, the promise that was given to Abraham, was not given in the Bible. The promises that David actually received from God about his future and his family were not in the Bible. They're in the Bible now, but David didn't have a Bible for them for that promise. Abraham didn't have a Bible when God made those promises. So I take that as serious because God has given promises to people on this planet, even after the close of the canon. That means that God has promised things to people after the scriptures have been closed. Does that mean that those promises are as valid as the word of God? Nothing is as valid as the word of God. God created the universe. The dude can write a book. Never changes, never will. And no promise from God will ever contradict what God has written, period. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. But there's not as much difference between the promises God gave to Abraham and King David and the promises he gave to us if these promises are indeed from God. And that's the thing I want you to be aware of. The Lord gave me a promise and fulfilled it. It's personal. Don't want to discuss it. Okay, maybe I will down the road as I'm winding it all down. But what I'm trying to tell you is that the Lord genuinely gave you a promise. It was really from God. I'm not talking about, oh, I had this feeling that I'm going to win the lottery. Okay, I'm not opposed to somebody winning the lottery, especially if you like to tithe. Here's what I'm trying to tell you, though. Okay, that's a joke. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. It's not based on a feeling. It's not this, not that. A promise from God is like a rock. It's solid. It cannot be moved about. It is steadfast. God has given us a multitude of promises in his word, which tells us it is absolutely steadfast. But some of you have also received promises from the Lord that are personal. And if they're from God, they have that same level of commitment that God gave to everybody else that he made a genuine promise to. I just want you to be aware of that as we take our break and as we come back and get into the depth of it, those promises are as sure as the foundation of the world. All right, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at the end of the year indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Or in Proverbs, where it teaches that a generous person will prosper, whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit, whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can. Right here on KAAM.
The David Spoon Experience.
Teaching time. I don't know how we're going to do the breaks, Gabriel, so just look at me. I'll let you know. I mean, this is the best I can tell you, because I'm going to teach you something that I hope I there's no way I can teach this. I can't teach the worth. I can't teach the value, but I'm going to do my best to share with you my heart in this process. As American people, as people who live in America, we have been granted the right to pursue happiness. And I want to make sure you understand what this means. We have a preamble to the United States Declaration of Independence, and the preamble to the Declaration says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Now, I do want to point out it does not say life, liberty, and the provisions of or for happiness. In other words, the rights that we have in the preamble is that we get to pursue happiness, not that it's provided for us by the government. So that's kind of an important point for people to recognize. It would be nice if they quit trying to quote our founding fathers and then say they're entitled to something because of that provision, because it never says that. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. We get ready for our next trivia question, which will probably be our last trivia question because the phones are going still kind of up and down, but we'll do one more and just give it an old-fashioned try, you know, because they're going to try and reset them, something like that. But then after that, on the very last segment, we're not going to do it. So we're doing four trivia questions today. So I'm skipping the real hard one, but I'll save it for later. Who is this person? I was a friend of Jesus. Jesus wept for my hurting relatives at my funeral. Who am I? Am I John, Andrew, or Lazarus? Your answer is in John chapter 11, verse 35 and 36. I was a friend of Jesus. Jesus wept for my hurting relatives at my funeral. Who am I? Am I John, Andrew, or Lazarus? John chapter 11, verse 35 and 36, if you think you know the answer. 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I am going to send you up to the website and tell you this thing about the website. If you go under ministry and under books, you'll know what we're talking about that I'm going to announce tomorrow, but I got a couple additional announcements to go with it. Plus, there's just some really cool stuff. Plus, if you haven't checked out the podcasts, so there's kind of a rough way to look up subjects in the podcast. It's not perfect, but if you go on the podcast page, I explained it the best I can. So if you're like, hey, I'd really like to get a podcast about this particular subject, you can try and use the system that we rigged. It's not perfect, but we're not spending the money on a separate search engine, so don't worry about it. See if you can pull it off that way. All that stuff's on the website, plus a place to give. Because we can't do the ministry without the giving. It's just that simple. Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Wow. Check it out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Hey, kid, what's your name?
I can't remember.
Where are you from?
I can't remember.
Can't you remember anything?
I remember the Alamo.
That's right. Remember the Alamo. Yeah, people don't realize three of these cuts are from one movie. It's really funny. Okay, here you go. Here's your trivia question. I'm going to wait on history, and we'll see if we get to the jokes, just because I want to get more into this teaching. Your trivia question, just your last opportunity here. Who is this person? I was a friend of Jesus, and Jesus wept for all my hurting relatives at my funeral. Who am I? Am I John, Andrew, or Lazarus? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Back to the promises. And we're talking about the promises of God. We already mentioned, and I want to make sure you understand it, a promise, Webster definition, is a declaration that something will or will not happen. A biblical promise, in other words, something defined from the biblical point of view, is an announcement for a pledge, the start of walking to a commitment. That's what that is. And we talked about the truth that there are different kinds of promises. We're going to get into that a little more in a second. But the promises that Abraham received, if you received an actual promise from God, not something you're just hoping for, not something you're just being positive vibes about, not something you got a good feeling about, but God actually gave you a promise, there's not a difference between the promise of God to another and the promise of God to another. The promises of God are steadfast and sure. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, and by Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no. But in him, it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Okay? I want you to hear that. Okay? No matter, listen to the scripture. Verse 20, 2 Corinthians 1:20. For no matter how many promises God has made, we'll get to that person in a second. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. If God gave a promise, it's yes. I just want you to know this real quickly. When you make a prayer, if God says yes, it's over. That's it. Sometimes when I pray, I say, Lord, just say yes. Now, yes, I'm trying to manipulate and get it to go my way. Of course. Don't be, you know, lying about it. But I tell them, if it's allowed, you know what I'm saying? But I still ask. You can ask anything, but God is entitled to say no. Don't forget that. Okay. He usually says yes, no, or wait. And the wait usually comes just like when you're talking to like somebody like Sprint and you're on the phone. They go, hello, thank you for calling Sprint. Can you hold, please? Thank you. Click. And then you're still holding. You didn't even get to say a word. That's the hold. Get it? All right. All right, we do have somebody who's going to answer a trivia question. We're going to give it a shot one more time on the phone, see how it comes off. We don't know how it will, so let's send them on through, and then we'll get back to the teaching. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Yes, this is Don.
Hi, Don. How are you?
I'm doing good, brother. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yesterday we had no phones, and then on Monday we had our interview.
I listened to you all day.
Yeah, and we're having problems with this phone too. It's still got a little bit of wiring problem. I can hear it in the phone line. So, what can you do? You smile and say praise the Lord, right?
That's right.
That's exactly right. All right, brother, I'm going to set you up for a trivia question. You ready? All right, here we go. Let me give you the whole thing, and then I'll give you the answers, and you give me the right one. Who is this person? I was a friend of Jesus, and Jesus wept for my hurting relatives at my funeral. Who am I? Am I John, Andrew, or Lazarus?
It's got to be Lazarus.
Say it again?
Lazarus.
Lazarus is correct! You are right, Rudy. That's right. Jesus wasn't crying for Lazarus. Lazarus was getting up in 5 minutes. He wasn't having the problem. It was all the other people who were crying.
And he stinketh not.
Yep. That's right. And he don't stink. I don't know. That's a great, great line. And he stinketh not. I like it.
All righty.
Excellent call, my brother. Wonderful to hear from you. I love hearing from you. So you
well,
anytime.
I listen to you all the time, and I feel so good on the trivia question. And I said, no, don't call. Let them call. And that's what I
bless you, brother. I'm still waiting for the brownies or chocolate cookies. You let me know.
I know. Which one do you want? Now,
either or. Either or, whatever is easiest.
If I do the cookies, can I put nuts in it?
Thank you, brother.
All right.
God bless you. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Okay. All right. So you can tell you can just hear that thing that's going. You know what it is? There might be another phone off somewhere. That's what it sounds like. Okay. All right. Great to hear from Don. Great to hear from John. Great to hear from everybody today. So don't hesitate to call. We'll get the phones fixed. They didn't work yesterday. From not working to something is something, right? That's movement, people. That's movement. Okay, let's get back to this promises. I want you to hear what I'm saying. It's super important, okay? The promises of God are not yes and no. Now, what does that mean? I mean, how does that really come into play? You have to understand the difference between conditional and non-conditional promise, okay? The second coming of Jesus Christ is a non-conditional promise. There is nothing in the universe that's going to stop the second coming of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what the government say, what the scientists say, what the media says, what Hollywood says, what the academics say, what the political activists say, what the woke people say, what any of those groups say. Totally irrelevant. Doesn't matter what PETA says. Doesn't matter what the eco-warriors say. Doesn't matter what any of them say ever. Jesus is coming again, period. Jesus is coming again. That's a non-conditional promise. But throughout Scripture, there are multitudes of conditional promises. You can often tell those promises by one word. You know what that word is? If. If you obey me. If your children follow after me, if they follow the same path you have. That's exactly the promises that God has given a multitude of times. The ones that have the if are conditional. They are based on a mutual action, so to speak. The ones that are unconditional will never change, no matter what takes place. The great promises in Scripture, the one that's being referred to here in 2 Corinthians 1, 18 through 20, are the promises that are non-conditional. When there is something that is granted by the Lord and it is conditional, it is qualified. But if the Lord has given you a promise and it's a genuine promise from God and it's not, there's no qualification, it's a promise from God if it's genuinely real. Again, I can't stress it enough. I'm not talking about you getting a good feeling. Okay, I get people to tell me that all the time. A good feeling, I got a good sense, or I had a dream after I had 15 tacos. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about an actual promise from God. And if you believe with faith the actual promise from God, and you respond to him, it's going to come to pass. And you might be, and I know what some of you are asking in your mind, so I'm just going to say it and then we'll break. Or maybe we won't break. All right, so here's what some people are asking in their minds, okay? What about the kids? That's the question that people ask. I've got wayward children. What about the kids? And my answer is, I'm just going to give you the most straightforward answer. You cannot claim it because you want it as a promise from God. If the Lord has given you a promise, that's awesome. But if he has not given you a promise, there is no claiming it because you just want it to happen. You cannot grant that. That's not true to the word. What you can say is you can continually pray and you continually position and petition. So I want to use both those words, position and petition. And you keep asking and you keep seeking and you keep knocking and you keep pursuing it, and faith moves the Lord into your favor. So that is my response. But my absolute, you cannot claim something that is not there, is standing firm. I'm not going to move on that. Just because you want it doesn't mean it happens. If it's a promise from God, then it doesn't alter. It doesn't change. That's where I'm going with on that. So here's something that's really important, though. In your petitionings and in these different things that you seek, you have to be a person who actually operates in faith. You already know that. You can't be double-minded thinking, well, maybe he will and maybe he won't. You got to believe he will. Unless he tells you otherwise, you stand in that faith. It's a great saying to say, there's no reason to doubt unless the Lord says no. I mean, why should I doubt it? There's no reason. Now, here's something I want you to understand about the promises of God. Listen, this is where the promises are located in the economy of God. I'm going to tell you where the promises of God are actually located. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 through 19 say this: when God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received the promise. Okay, that's verse 15. We'll get to that in a second. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and an oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all arguments. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to his heirs of what he promised, he confirmed it by an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of hope set before us may be greatly encouraged, and we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. There are two things that God offers that make it so that the promises of God will be absolutely fulfilled. The two things that the Lord makes is he makes the promise, or he swears by it, and he makes the oath. Now listen to what I'm going to say. It's really important for you to get this. I don't want you to miss this. This is where people kind of miss a little bit on the scripture. I just don't want you to miss it, okay? The things that make it so that God will not fail is, number one, God is the promise maker. And number two, God's oath confirms the promise he made. So listen to what I'm saying. These two things don't change. God is not like he doesn't change like the variableness of a shadow. He doesn't move about like that. God is a promise maker. If he makes the promise, that is one thing that does not change. If he gives an oath, that's just a higher affirmation to the earlier promise that it's going to come to pass. On top of that, God cannot lie. So the surety is with security. And the hope of the promise is the anchor to our soul. That promise that God has granted into your life is an anchor that when things are twirling around you and the kids are being jerky and everything's moving around and you're in the boat and back and forth and you're like, gosh, I think we're going to sink. The hope that God is the promise maker and he's given it by oath is what makes it steadfast. And I want you to hear one of the most important things that people miss about the promise of God. So after waiting patiently, Abraham received the promise. Abraham was promised offspring. It was 25 years before that promise was manifest. Did you hear me? God made me a promise. It hasn't happened yet. Well, what if it's supposed to be 40 years? What we do is we give up. Or we lose faith, or we operate in doubt, and we question. What Abraham didn't do was give it up. He did make a mistake in yielding to him and Sarah, trying to create their own answer to God's problem, God's promise, which people do a lot, and then they ended up creating an Ishmael. That didn't work out so good. The key in receiving a promise from God is waiting patiently and trusting God that he's the promise maker and that he confirms it by an oath. If he's giving you an oath and it's really from the Lord and the Lord can't lie, then you've got it solid. But you have to remain steadfast. And I've taught this before and people have a really hard time with this. And I'm just going to be honest. And it's hard to teach it from time to time. Because the promise is so awesome. But if you don't see it manifest, you start to lose confidence. So what do we need to have but a steadfast faith, a persevering faith that believes God? For 25 years, Abraham did not see the manifestation. In fact, there was really nothing that was manifested until 24 years later he got a visit. Think about that. Think about the power of that. Think about the intensity of that. He had to. And you know, it's not just Abraham. You know, Isaac and Isaac's wife didn't have a baby for 20 years. And it's like, well, how's the offspring going to go through Isaac? I don't know. 20 years later, after they were freaking out and got married, then they had the offspring. It's just the challenge of the patience when it's not when it hasn't arrived yet. And so we need to have a couple of wise tools at our dispense. And what are the dispense? What is that? You guys, if you don't write this down, I'm going to be kind of mad. I could take my ball and go home. Just forget history, forget everything else. Let me just finish out. Psalm 119, verse 50. My comfort in my suffering is this. Your promise preserves my life. Get it? My comfort in my suffering. Psalm 119, verse 50. My comfort in my suffering is this. Your promise preserves my life. Wow. So while we're going through it, you're not getting the promise, but you know the promise is coming. Does every promise happen while we are alive? No. No, not even close. Joshua 23:14. Now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises of the Lord your God that he has given you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. There has never been a promise from God that has failed. That's who you're dealing with. Yes, Dave, but I want to see it. So there's a lot of things I want. I want free food for the rest of my life. But guess what? I don't get that either. That doesn't matter that you don't see it. That doesn't matter. Unless that was part of the promise, it doesn't matter. Abraham did not live to see the fullness of the problem. He just lived to see the beginning parts of the promise. And promises from God are supposed to preserve our life. They're supposed to keep us steady. They're supposed to be an anchor to our soul. They're supposed to keep us grounded. That's how important the promises are. And listen to what Joshua said. Listen to what he says. I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. That's who you're dealing with. Not one has failed. If God made the promise, it's as sure as the, it's even more sure than the foundation of the earth, because the foundation of this earth is disappearing and a new heavens and a new earth are coming. God's promise is even more concrete than the earth you live on. If it's a genuine promise from God, it will not, it cannot fail. Now, just think about that. And our problem, and I'm just being honest with you, is that we want to see it the way we want to see it, in the timing we want to see it, in the methodology that we want to see it, and all that stuff. But God's promises are not subject to our timing or our methodology. And our struggle with them is on our side. And we need to comfort in our midst of our suffering and understand that the promises of God preserve our lives. It keeps us going, man. It keeps us rolling forward. Get it? All right. All right, folks, kind of a different show, as most shows are. You have been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Humanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.